From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 19th day of August, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Sherman Newlin. He's at Risk Management Commodities out of Hudsonville, Illinois. Jackie Vakes is out of the office today. Newlin is traveling on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. We'll hear about his route, and we'll also hear about the routes that Brian Grady and Jeff Wilson are traveling. They're leading the eastern and the western legs of the tour. And along the way, we'll catch up on the weather forecast, too. That with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Old crop September corn today at $3.25 a bushel, down 2 cents. New crop December, two lower as well, $3.39¾. The settlement price, the March at $3.52¾, down 1½ cents. And May futures down a penny at $3.60¾. July of next year at $3.66½ for the corn, down 1¼ cents. September beans up a half, $9.12½ the settlement price. New crop November at $9.14, a quarter higher. January $9.20 up a quarter, and the July of next year at $9.29¾ up a half. The bean oil 9 cents higher. The bean meal down 50 cents. And July soft red winter wheat 2½ cents higher at $5.36¼. The hard red July at $4.74¾ up 7 for the afternoon. Live cattle futures up 75 cents. Feeders 32½ higher for the day. And the lean hogs for 100 pounds up $1.12½. On this Wednesday, Sherman Newlin now joins us. He's been on the road with the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. He's here to talk both about the markets today and what he's seen on the tour. And I want to start actually with the tour if we can, Sherman, because you're in...
Sure.
A north-south route in Iowa. And it's just, it can't be, what, 20 miles to the west of Des Moines? So you're running that line. Is that about right? Yeah.
Right. That's where we picked it up at.
So are you north or south of Des Moines at this point? Because it was a
we
big
are
route.
North of Des Moines. Okay. Yeah, we are north of Des Moines, just south of Fort Dodge, about 10 miles at the moment.
So did you start closer to the Minnesota border?
Yeah, no. We came up from the south. We came across 80 and jumped off Route 80 just west of Des Moines. And as soon as we got off Route 80 heading north, we started taking samples in Dallas County, as a matter of fact.
So what did things look like?
Right in through there, it was windblown pretty bad. From the storm, down corn. I don't quite think we were in the driest part of the drought area, but the corn was down pretty bad. We, had to get out, try to walk through the field, get into it a little ways. I mean, we were actually down on our hands and knees, you know, trying to count the stalks so we could push them up and, you know, not do any more damage or break the stalks off and try and get an accurate count of what may be harvestable with a harvestable ear. And honestly, I think our first stop was 157. Our second stop a little bit farther north in Boone County was the same. I mean, we had to get down on our hands and knees and, you know, get through there and get a good accurate count, but the corn was quite a bit better. It was at 209 was that stop. So it was good corn if a guy could get out there and get under it, you know, but you could just go quarter mile down the road and you'd find a field that would not be harvestable. I mean, it would just be like, too flat, too broken off to get into, you know. And then, you know, in Boone County, we made a couple more stops. We had a 150 and then kind of got out of the worst of the down corn, but more into the droughty area. And I wanted to make a stop just to see how bad it was. And that stop yielded a 133 yield there. But it looks like as we go a little bit farther north, we kind of start to get out some of the drier areas. So we're going to get ready to make another stop and see how that goes.
So you've only had one really pretty good cornfield so far today. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Unlike yesterday, and my trip in Nebraska yesterday showed on our stretch of Nebraska showed some phenomenal yields. Some of those were in the 240s, 230s, heavy test weight corn. High pod counts over in that area. I was really impressed with what we saw. And that was dry land that wasn't irrigated.
Yeah, so just a quick reminder for the listeners that the Crop Scouts will be in the western part of Iowa today. So they won't really do the heaviest hit windstorm areas until tomorrow when they do the eastern part of Iowa. And they're also in Illinois. We'll talk with Brian Grady and Jeff Wilson here in a bit about that. I do want to turn your attention, Sherman, to the marketplace as well. Had a really good start to the week. A couple of lackluster days here on Tuesday and Wednesday. What do you think about the markets?
I think they're in a holding pattern. I mean, you know, they went up on Monday, I believe, you know, and more so as more reports came in from Iowa of how the wind damage was taking place and how many bushels, everybody's trying to figure out how many bushels could have been lost. I mean, there was yield or estimates anywhere from 100 to, you know, several hundred million bushels. I think we kind of calculated up maybe around 350 million bushels of corn lost. So, but it's hard to tell at this point. You know, we probably won't know the final answer till January on that. But anyway, that was part of the reason the market rallied, and then on the drier forecast and our estimation on Monday's rally. I think yesterday was more, you know, back and fill and a little more consolidation. I mean, December corn got up, filled a gap, and hit some retracement levels, and now it's just kind of can't get its legs back under. It seems to be losing a little bit of steam as we go through the week here. I think, you know, some of the good yield numbers coming from the pro farmer tour is kind of tempering some of the enthusiasm as we go along. And, you know, I guess we're kind of waiting to see what the pro farmer tour looks like as we get towards the end of the week, what kind of numbers are going to come up with. They're on the final on Friday.
I bet your Nebraska tour made you want to maybe sell some more new crop corn and possibly soybeans.
Yeah, yeah. It was really good.
Yeah, and, I mean, and maybe not so much today.
not so much today. I mean, like I said, I feel sorry for the guys up here in Iowa. If it's not the drought, it's the some of the windstorm damage that's going to make it hard on them.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me. I appreciate all the work you guys are doing out there in the field for the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, too.
Great. All right. Thank you.
Yep, that's Sherman Newland. He is with Risk Management Commodities out of Hudsonville, Illinois. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. If you'd like to stay up on what's happening with the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour, we have a great tour tracker there. It gives you the updated numbers from the tour as they're released in the evening by Pro Farmer. And so far, they have, of course, the numbers from Ohio, Indiana, South Dakota, and Nebraska. Tonight, we'll have numbers from Illinois, tomorrow, Iowa, and Minnesota. And there's a curated list of tweets from the scouts there as well, so you can stay up to speed on what's going on each and every day. Anytime you want, just check in at WILLAG.org. On this Wednesday, let's check in with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to see what's up with the agricultural weather forecast for the United States and around the planet. What a beautiful day. Well, what a beautiful week it has been so far, Drew. I hope you're enjoying the weather. I do need to know, though, about the weather here in the U.S. It's been a little on the dry side across the Corn Belt. Will that continue?
Yeah, you know, we've got another 7 days of weather very similar to this. It might warm up a little bit. In fact, it will definitely warm up a little bit, but I'm not convinced that we're going to see much in the way of meaningful moisture in the heart of the Midwest. So most everybody will experience a dry down. There's going to be a few showers, maybe in the Ohio River Valley. There may be a few up near the Canada border and the far northern fringes of crop country. But everybody in between is going to be mostly dry. And part of this, of course, is because of the active tropical weather pattern that's evolving. We also have a trough of low pressure generating a lot of rain in the southeastern corner of the U.S., and that's going to continue to restrict the amount of moisture that's available in the Midwest. And between that trough and the approaching tropical systems, it's just going to be really hard to make it rain for a little while. Now, after those tropical systems pass, we might have a little pattern change that might occur as we go into the first week of September, and we might see a shot or two of rain. There shouldn't be any big soakings, but there will be a few stronger thunderstorms that might moisten up a few pockets here and there. The temperatures, as I mentioned, will turn warmer for a little while in this coming week. In the second week of the outlook, will probably turn a little cooler again, but only temporarily. It looks like the whole general upper air wind flow pattern is going to be very similar to what it has been. So periods of warm and periods of cool with a little bit of shower activity coming up. It won't be as wet as it has been, though. So we will see net drying more the rule than the exception.
Any reason to look into early harvest in September across the Corn Belt?
Well, I think there's a lot of nervousness out there. You know, a lot of folks have been calling and asking me about that, and I think it's just we've had so many other weird things happen here recently that there's a little nervousness out there. It looks like with the development of a La Nina event later in this autumn, that we will have a return of drier bias conditions later in the harvest season. What's probably going to happen, because of all the active tropical weather, the first half of the harvest is probably going to be fairly good and dry, unless we get one of these tropical systems that come up into the Midwest, which, you know, we can't really say too much about that at this moment in time. But I think it'll be a good start to the harvest season. I think the middle of the season will be a little bit wetter, and then we'll finish out dry again. So we should make good progress, but we'll have a little bit of disruption in the middle of all that.
Can you work your way as well for us from Argentina northward into Brazil and give me kind of an overview of what you think's happening there for their growing season? I know wheat would be of concern in Argentina, and then, of course, it'll be planting season in Brazil soon enough, and earlier if you're somewhere between those two nations.
Yeah, Argentina is in the midst of a rather significant winter drought. There hasn't been much precipitation over the past couple of weeks now in any part of Argentina, and what rain they have had has been fairly limited. And portions of the west, Cordoba in particular, have not seen much of any rain since they first started trying to put some seed in the ground for the winter wheat crop back in June. So it's a serious situation. Cordoba produces 20-23% of the wheat crop on an average year. And I'm not sure that it all got planted, but if it did get planted, it certainly isn't up and growing. And there is an opportunity for rain next week in Argentina. I think we will probably have a good chance for seeing significant precipitation evolve during the Tuesday through Thursday period, so a week from now. And we'll probably see a little bit of relief for Cordoba and some of the western and northern areas that are so dry, but it's not going to be a fix-all. And a little better rain for Buenos Aires. And of course, Buenos Aires is a much more important winter wheat producing province there. And so that will help a lot from that perspective. Their corn planting will probably occur later in September, so we've got a few weeks yet for a better improvement to occur. As far as Brazil's concerned, you know, we're going to actually have frost and freezes occurring in Rio Grande do Sul on Friday and Saturday mornings. That is probably going to burn back some of their wheat crop. It does not sound like they're reproducing in Rio Grande yet, but a little farther to the north in Paraná, the crop varies from pre-reproductive to harvest across that particular state. And we think there might be some soft frost in southern parts of Paraná, but that'll be the extent of it. So no serious threat there. As far as the planting in Brazil is concerned, you're right. They're already planting in many areas, Rio Grande do Sul up into Paraná and São Paulo. This is the early corn crop that they produce. I heard this morning that a small area in northwestern Rio Grande do Sul was already 35% planted on the early corn crop. We had rain this week in southern Brazil, and crops are doing really well. Let's put it this way, the future for planting looks really bright with the moisture that's just fallen.
And a short note on what's happening in Eurasia from the Black Sea all the way through China.
All right. Well, we're still very dry right now from eastern and southern Ukraine, actually back into parts of Romania and Bulgaria, but from eastern and southern Ukraine into Russia's southern region, still just critically dry. there's no top or subsoil moisture, any unirrigated crop in the area has got to be pretty seriously stressed. In the Russian New Lands, they have finally had a decent amount of rain occur to take away all of the moisture shortages that were present previously. And I think there's a pretty good chance here that the late season crop has finished out in a much better mode. But it is time for crop maturation and harvesting for sunseed and spring wheat there in the eastern New Lands. And so they definitely need a drier pattern to return. And it looks like maybe a week to 10 days from now, we'll start seeing that transition take place. China, you know, it's all been about flooding this year. We just saw a new report out of China just 2 or 3 days ago saying that the damage done by the floods this year on property and agriculture combined has reached about 26 million. Billion U.S. dollars, $25.86 billion, just a phenomenal amount. I've seen all kinds of video about cattle losses and damage to structures and whatnot. The worst of the flooding, of course, is over and has been for a little while, but we continue to see reports of local flooding all the way up into northern parts of that country. And usually their seasonal rains end in the second half of September, so it can't go on much longer. And I do see a little bit of improvement now for a little bit.
Hey, thank you for hopscotching the world with me today. I appreciate it, and we'll talk with you again next week.
You bet. Enjoy that weather.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Let's continue our conversations about the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour now. We're joined by Jeff Wilson. He's the leader of the western leg of that tour, and they have been across, as you heard from Sherman Newland just a few minutes ago, parts of western Iowa. Where are you at this point, Jeff?
Right now, I'm in Cherokee County, just north of Cherokee, Iowa, and I'm making my way to Spencer. And we didn't start sampling on my route until I got just south of Denison. So another group took my half of the beginning route through that Missouri bottomland, through Fremont and Mills and Pottawatomie and Shelby counties. And I talked to them earlier, and they said that things were looking pretty good down there. They've gotten enough rain, but there was a few spots where there might have been a little bit of a disease in the corn from Goss's wilt, but it wasn't like a widespread problem. It's just in one field. But the beans were pretty consistent down there. Now, when we got up to Denison, as we drove north through that area, you could just kind of see that the color of the grass along the road was starting to turn a little bit like a lighter green. And then when we basically got to things started to turn much drier in Ida Grove, the grass was burned. And but overall, you know, the yields seem to have been holding up pretty well. There was definitely a lot of potential out there. We measured pretty good ear populations. What did hurt it was there was tip back, say an inch to maybe 2 inches on a lot of ears. So that kind of hurt the final yields. We've had a range on my five stops of 177 to 197. And I think a lot of those fields would have gone more than 200 if there had been not the tip back. The average for the five stops is 188. And now we're going to get into maybe a little bit drier area. This is basically where we've had the, the moderate to severe drought readings in Iowa. So we'll get a little more indication of just how much the top end of the yield has been taken off. But the corn crop is mature. And, what you have, you hopefully will hold on to. It's already early dent. Almost every field we have sampled up here. So it's already done some of its work. Just a matter of one more rain might give you a little heavier test weight.
Brian Grady is also with us this afternoon. He's leading the eastern leg and was through Indiana yesterday. We'll get to the Indiana-Nebraska numbers in just a moment. Brian has been traveling through Illinois today. What's your route like, and what have you got for yield so far?
We went north, deadheaded up to almost Streeter before we started this morning. Then we went straight up to DeKalb and started west. And at that point, that was a split route that I had, and it cut off. And now we just crossed across into Iowa along Highway 30. So that corridor where the heaviest of the wind damage was, So we'll be getting a look at that this afternoon.
And what kind of yields did you find in Illinois?
We made 7 stops in Illinois on my route, 193 average, and that was Livingston, LaSalle, DeKalb, and Ogle County.
Now let's get some of the finalized numbers from yesterday. The Indiana numbers look like what, Brian?
Indiana corn came in just shy of 180 bushels per acre. So good number, up 11.4% from last year. USDA on August 1, they were up 11.2% from a year ago. So I think USDA is pretty close and in the ballpark. If we can finish out, and that'll determine if probably if USDA needs to move up from its August estimate or move down from its August estimate based on late season weather. Quite a bit of variability in the Indiana corn crop. So usually when you build a big yield, you have consistency, and we just didn't see that type of consistency in Indiana this year. There's some really good corn out there. There's some that's on the poorer side, and there's some definite dry pockets in the state. So they're going to need some rains here late in the season to finish off the yield potential that's out there.
And Jeff, how about corn in Nebraska?
So we measured corn on 2 days in Nebraska, and the two-day average turned out to be 175.2 bushels per acre, up 1.5% from a year ago, and that's a little lighter than what USDA forecast. They were looking for almost 5% gain year over year. The story is the northern half of Nebraska is a little dry. The south might be a little inconsistent. But there were some real big, heavy years in a lot of fields. And so the test weight will be important. And if you can get some, at least one little rain in a lot of areas, that may make the test weights even better for the Nebraska crop.
And Brian, as we wrap up our conversation here this afternoon for Wednesday, just a quick reminder that the Pro Farmer Tour is always about 15 bushels light on Nebraska. That's because there are far more non-irrigated acres than irrigated acres in the crop tour. And I had a question on Twitter. I think you may have seen it, which was it looked to them as if your tour was light compared to USDA. Is that very normal? And is there the same kind of lag between the Pro Farmer crop tour numbers and maybe the USDA August figures as there is in Nebraska for the rest of the states?
Historically, back to 2001, we have been 6 bushel heavier than USDA coming out of crop tour for our all samples number. And that you take into account the 7 states that we're in, we should be above the national yield at that point in time.
Hey, Brian, because you've been traveling through a part of Illinois that did suffer from wind damage, did you really find any there?
Near Streeter, we start to see trees down, limbs down, and stuff like that, and then north of there. But really, the crops were pretty decent. A little bit of wind damage in those fields, but not much, to be honest with you.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for being with us today.
Okay.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you.
Brian Grady and Jeff Wilson joined us here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report to give us an update of both the eastern and the western legs of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, our tour tracker for our Midwest Pro Farmer Crop Tour our Midwest Pro Farmer Crop Tour tracker, and there'll be updates from the latest coronavirus and ag webinar series as well. The next one of those comes up on Friday morning. Find all the details for that at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.